Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Two BFT radio shows are ever alike. They might start the same. They might even end the same. But in between, these shows are not Oreo cookies. They are not pepperoni pizzas. They're, as caller Mike said earlier in the show, sometimes you gotta have strange. This show is strange. My wife has popped into studio. You're having a good day on this show. Kelly Graves, the Oregon Ducks women's basketball coach, give you a big endorsement.
Oh, nice.
Said he likes when you're on the show.
Well, that's kind of him.
Said he thinks you should have your own show.
I do.
I don't think he knows. I know. You have that expert show. Thatexpertshow.com. But I don't think he knows, too, that you were an anchor and investigative reporter for 20 years on television, too.
And that's okay.
But some people are just getting introduced to you for the first time because you're coming to them in a new avenue here on the show.
Yeah, this is totally different. You know, I'm not digging through piles of documents and chasing somebody down the street with a microphone. There's a lot of this that I'm actually still not very comfortable with. And it's the whole idea of, you know, offering what I really think and opinions and things like that. Like, you ask me my opinion on something and my initial reaction is to freak out.
What do you think about Judah Newby announcing on this show off the cuff he's getting married this weekend?
That's so exciting. Did he just bury the lead? Like,
yes.
Oh, and by the way, I've got this little thing I'm doing this weekend.
Alabama Adriana, back me up on this.
Yeah, it was casual. I'm pretty sure the conversation went, I got a haircut and I'm getting married this weekend. And that was it.
That's great.
Did it in the right order. Let me ask you.
By the way, the haircut looks great.
Does it look great?
It does. It looks great.
Thank you very much.
Did he go short and tight right around his ears, high and tight?
You know, usually I feel like he either has the longer or the buzz, and it's right in between. It's the perfect medium.
There you go.
Thank you.
He's got to clean up for the
nuptials. What did you tell him when you walked in? Did you bring in a picture of Bradley Cooper and say, cut it like this? Because that's what women do. They bring in these photographs of movie stars and they go, can I have this haircut? And then the stylist looks at him like, I could work with the hair, but I can't do much else with the rest of this. Did you bring a picture in?
No, I got a word for word description of what my fiance wanted. And I wrote it all out, and I showed it to the stylist, Dan at Hair Tactics. Shout out, Dan. And he's like,
I got news for you. You're already married.
Yep.
Exactly. You are going to have a long and happy wedded bliss, Judah. You wrote down what your fiance wanted and handed it to the stylist.
It's our big day, but it's really her big day. I want to make sure I look good for her.
My gosh. I love it so much.
Yeah.
You're halfway there. I mean, you're halfway there. You're going to have a happy marriage.
Thank you. Wow. Communication.
This is a bald-faced truth. News alert. Blazers fans held hostage.
Not really. Judah Newby's already married. That's the news.
Held hostage. He's wise. He's wise.
All right. Let me try that again. You're the news person. You should be doing this. All right. You go into a news voice without a script. Can you break the news to listeners? If we were doing breaking news, Judah's getting married this weekend. Anna, you got two Emmys on the shelf. Don't let me down here.
This just in. To the newsroom, Judah Newby may have announced that he is getting married this weekend, that the ceremony is taking place, that he'll be live streaming it, but Spoiler alert, he's already married.
I like that better. I like that better. That's good. See? That's why you're the pro. Hey, by the way, Anna, what is our anniversary date?
It's
What's the date?
It's the end of July.
What day?
It's in the 30s. So
well, there's only 50-50 shot. I told the audience you were going to struggle with this. Well, is it,
I don't know why.
Is it July 30th or July 31st?
It's the 30th.
Yes.
It's the 30th. But I for some reason I have like a mental block. I always think it's the 31st.
I know. You know why I think?
No, I have no idea.
I think that when we planned it, it wasn't because it was a destination wedding.
Uh-huh.
We all flew to Hawaii and it was like July 24th through the August 1st. It was in that range.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like most weddings where you talk about the date you're getting married over and over and over and over again for a year while you're planning it. I think literally it was so impromptu. And by the way, it wasn't like we had 300 people coming. We had 24 people. We went down to the beach and we just circled up.
Yeah. I mean, I think we were actually like on the beach that morning, kind of relaxing and, you know, like I was essentially in like flip flops or sandals and put on my wedding dress and was like, oh, I guess it's time to get married.
I remember, you know what I remember from that day was, okay, because we had talked to the hotel that we were staying at, which was right on the beach,
mm-hmm.
about holding the ceremony on their lawn, and they wanted $5,000.
Was it that much?
Yes, they wanted $5,000, like,
that's
site
crazy.
Fee. And I said, it's just 24 people. We're not going to pay $5,000 to stand on your lawn.
Yeah.
And then they said, well, you could stand on the beach and do it. And then I went and looked at it on a Google map, and I went, oh, the beach is like right next to the lawn. So they said, but you have to have a permit. I said, nonsense. We did not get a permit. I don't know if you knew this.
Oh, are we legally married then?
Yes, we're legally married.
Okay.
I sent my brother down to the beach that morning, told him to lay out some towels just in case it got busy.
Oh, yeah.
So he laid out a bunch of towels. And what was really funny was like right before the ceremony, he picked all the towels up to create this big space that we could all stand in. You weren't there because mm-hmm. you're off somewhere else getting ready.
Yeah.
You had to walk around a corner in your dress and walk down to the beach. Everybody else on the beach was aware of what was going on. Like hundreds of people all stood up when you were walking in your gown.
It was really weird.
Down this area. Like I thought it was really cool. Like the strangers and a bunch of people in their bikinis,
yes,
all of them rose to their feet out of respect for the bride.
It was a party of 24 of our closest friends and family, plus about 300 strangers that we didn't know in their swimwear.
I was looking around. There's like a lady in a bikini, a guy wearing a Speedo. There was quite a scene there. But Judah didn't invite us to the wedding.
No, he invited me.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
Today on Facebook.
Wait a minute. Judah?
I told him we're excited to be able to partake in this.
What's the timestamp on that?
I don't know.
Did you do that right after I shamed you for not inviting us?
I can neither confirm nor deny the timing of the invitation.
I'm
trying to extend the live stream attendance as much as I can/remember to do so.
Yeah.
I'm sending out like certain invitations every day, and I finally got to you guys.
Finally got to me.
I'm sorry about that.
Coincidentally, right after I shamed him.
I don't even know if we're friends on Facebook, John.
I don't think we are.
Maybe he was doing it in reverse alphabetical order, and you know,
just
hadn't
gotten
to the C's.
Yes.
Yet.
Yeah.
Alabama, Adriana, you'd be up in a couple of weeks. He'll get to you.
Wait.
She's not on social. I couldn't get her.
No, I'm on Facebook.
No, she's too cool.
So, what we're going to have to do is, Anna, you can FaceTime me and point the phone at the live stream.
Yep.
Super complicated.
I'll make sure I get the link to all you guys.
That's
going to
feel like a really intimate affair for Adriana as we go to do that.
By the way, Adriana admitted something on air today.
Oh, yeah?
Because I had pointed out the conversation we had about Judah and his fiance the other day where you said, hey, she's not on his social media. Like, He has not posted.
Okay, you know, sometimes conversations that I have with you can just remain conversations between a husband and a wife. It's not something that has to be shared with everybody.
There's no filter here on this show.
Okay, noted.
So Adriana pointed out that she came to the very similar agreement with the gentleman that she's dating. They decided that they wouldn't post anything about each other on the grid.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what the grid is?
No. No, but I'm sure this is a term you'll be using repeatedly now.
Alabama Adriana, let's talk about the grid with those who don't know, like the older crowd that's less tuned in than us.
Thanks.
About the grid. Okay. What do we mean by the grid?
So on Instagram, you have your posts that post onto your quote-unquote profile.
Yeah.
And then you have your story posts, which they go away in 24 hours and never to be seen again.
Right.
Unless you make them highlights.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So most people like to have a certain aesthetic for their grid, and that's not to be disrupted for a significant other, apparently, in my situation. I don't agree with this, by the way. This is where we don't agree, but, you know, we've come to agree to disagree situation.
And it literally looks like a grid, by the way, for those of you who are not, is like Anna's looking at me confused. It, like when you look at your Instagram.
Yeah, yeah. It's you know.
If you look at my page, you're in grid spot number 1A. if you look on there.
You suck my battleship.
Photo of you.
I see. Okay. But for the aesthetic, isn't that just a matter of like, you know, using the right filter to make sure that it has the right look?
No.
For some people, because like you guys have found out my boyfriend is like into fashion and style and all of that, so he posts things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're stylish.
Okay.
Well, I know that I'm stylish, fair. But okay. But the other thing is too is he's just like Judah said that he's just a private person about his close life like that.
I
just
respect that.
You know what I did see on Alabama Adriana's thing? I saw his hands. Did you see his hands?
No.
Look at her story. Guy was eating a popsicle.
I'm just staring at
They
you
were
right
eating
now.
SpongeBob SquarePants
Oh,
popsicles.
I saw the SpongeBob thing, but were they his hands?
Well, hope so.
Jeez. This is definitely a strange conversation.
Adriana, were those his hands?
Yeah, they were his hands.
Oh my gosh.
But
I only noticed the SpongeBob popsicles because our kids love those, and I usually refuse to buy them.
I saw the post, and I said, she's hosed, because they're being cute together on social media with popsicles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the beginning. All right, let's go to Chris, who's in Portland, and called in. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, I just wanted to chime in on the conversation about remembering anniversary dates.
Yeah.
My wife and I wanted to get married in a church, but she had been divorced previously, and so they wouldn't let us do that. So we ended up getting married in the registry office, having the wedding blessed in the church the following day. So now I've got a choice. Depending if I forget the first date, I can always choose the second one.
That's right. See, that's good.
Oh, I like that leeway.
Yeah. Technically, Anna, do you know where we were married? We weren't technically married on the beach in Kauai.
Right.
Because that's not where they had to sign the marriage license and do all that.
Right.
Do you know where we were married?
We got married at the Pono Fish Market in Kauai.
That's right.
Like, when I say fish market, I mean, you walk in, and on one side, there's glass cases with raw fish that you can buy for purchase. Terrific poke.
But that's the only place on the island where they issue the licenses.
Yeah,
there's
and
no
it's
courthouse.
The dude who owns the Pono Fish Market. And then on the right side, he has really an interesting backdrop for people who go there to get their marriage license.
Yeah, you get married, they take your picture, and it's got like a fake sunset behind it.
Yeah.
And then he gives you a bumper sticker that says, I got married at the Pono Market. I still have that bumper sticker. That's how sentimental I am. Okay.
Yes.
I could have got some cod, but instead I went and said, I'll take the bumper sticker and a beef jerky stick, please, and the marriage license.
Yeah. It was bizarre because I think when we decided to get married in Hawaii, I started to investigate, okay, what do we actually need to do logistically to make this happen? And you call, like, the, you know, Office of Vital Records in Honolulu, and say, hey, we'd like to get married in Kauai, and here's where. And they said, okay, you got to call up Paul at the Pono Fish Market to get your license. And I thought it was a joke. I was like,
right.
Really?
And they also said,
that's the process?
They asked when the wedding is, remember?
Yes. And I told him, I was like, oh, we're hoping for July, end of July. And he said, oh, no, this was like in January or February. He's like, that's way too soon. Call me in June.
Yeah.
To make a reservation.
It sounds really complicated, but it actually was really easy.
Yeah.
We drive to the Pono Market. We tell them, hey, we're getting married this weekend. And they pull out the materials. They look at your driver's license and mine. And they pronounce you man and wife right there in front of the flounder.
I mean, it's like refinancing a home is way more complicated.
Way more complicated.
That went.
You got the bald-faced truth. I'm going to tell you about an unusual development in theme parks. Plus, we're going to talk about the cancellation of the fall sports season in the Ivy League and what it means to the rest of the world. Leave it here. Make sure you follow Anna on Twitter, Anna_Canzano on Twitter. Japan's theme parks, can I talk about them? We're seeing Disney parks opening across the United States, but they've done something interesting in Japan. The theme parks in Japan have banned screaming on roller coasters. They're banning people from screaming on roller coaster because it potentially spreads coronavirus. They are telling people to, quote, please scream inside your heart, end quote.
Oh, man.
Discuss.
How is that even possible? I mean, screaming is just kind of a natural reflex of going on a really scary roller coaster. I understand the concept behind it, but are they not? I mean, it must be that they're not requiring masks at the theme park because they're saying that it's outdoors. And
well,
so
They are. I do see photographs of the theme parks there.
Mm-hmm.
They're asking visitors to suppress their screams to help
swallow your screams.
I'm looking at their roller coasters. I do see people in masks on the roller coaster, but the roller coaster ride will be silent. Is that possible? No screaming.
Not for me.
You're a thrill seeker.
And the concept of that is that, you know, the studies have shown so far that with COVID, when you cough or even talk loudly, and especially if you scream, you are, you know, emitting droplets,
spread. Look at these guys in Japan. I'm just showing you the photo. They're all on the roller coaster. They're wearing suits and ties.
Maybe it was a company outing. Hey, their mouths are open. So the ones that aren't wearing masks and their mouths are open, are they just screaming silently? Can I open my mouth, but then just not emit any sound?
Here's another shot of people wearing masks and on the roller coaster.
That's what I would do. Right. I would open my mouth and then be silent.
There are also other
the scream to myself.
Other entities are advocating for hand gestures.
Oh, like jazz hands.
Okay, here's the thing. I noticed this numerous times when I've had masks on. I can't tell if people know if I'm smiling.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't know if I'm smiling or if I'm sticking out my tongue or what am I doing?
Yeah.
Like, you're behind a mask, for crying out loud.
Snacking on Cheez-Its
so,
under the mask.
So some customer service people are suggesting that if you're wearing a mask, you can use hand gestures to communicate with other people.
It's so true, because I do find myself gesticulating much more dramatically in situations where I'm not sure if somebody knows if I'm, you know, saying hello or smiling or something like that.
Is that necessary?
Probably not, but human-ish.
No screaming in Japan on the roller coasters. Meanwhile, the Ivy Leagues have shut down their it's fall sports season. They are not just suspending and postponing. They're saying it's canceled. They're not going to play in this fall.
That doesn't bode well for the rest of the
field. I think there's two ways to look at it. One is, if you're somebody who wants to be totally optimistic that Power 5 conference football is going to be played, you say, hey, the Ivy League schools are not relying upon the income They don't have these huge television deals. This is not a big financial hit for them. So they're just doing what's safe, and there's really a very minimal financial hit for the Ivies. They're also the first to cancel March Madness back when everyone else followed suit. It is a bad marker if you are badly wanting to see football played in the fall, because it could be the precursor to more disappointing announcements. Mm-hmm. Should people be disappointed with that? I'm conflicted.
It's not a matter of should they be. It's are they? I mean, it's kind of like, should you be sad about something? That's not a should. It's just, are you? Of course, there's going to be people that are disappointed about it.
But isn't the greater emphasis, or shouldn't the greater emphasis be on doing what's right for the general population in our country? And look, maybe they could just move the football season back. It'll still get played. I'm kind of, I always consider myself a purist when it comes to sports.
Mm-hmm.
But on this issue, I am very flexible.
Yeah.
Because I know that's our life, right? We don't know. We don't know, like, Multnomah County, Clackamas County, Washington County just got told today that you're not going to phase two.
Right.
It could be a while.
Yeah.
Okay? Some of the counties in Oregon are in phase two. I'm not going to sit here despondent about it. I'm going to go, look, we got to wear masks. We got to do better.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're not mutually exclusive ideas. I think that you can be an advocate for public health and for doing what's prudent and wise, but also still, you know, have disappointment that, you know, your favorite team, you're not going to get to see them play.
I think it's been good for some of my friends who are diehard sports fans who are, a little unhinged. I think a positive byproduct of this has been that they have been forced to kind of be alone with themselves a little more. In a good way, right?
I'm looking at you, and I'm trying to decipher as your wife who it is that you're speaking of, but it's okay.
We have numerous friends who are like that.
Well, yes, we do.
And it's this time of rest has given them a chance maybe to buy a home or invest in a personal relationship or go running or read a book. You know what I mean?
Okay, Confucius.
No, I'm just saying.
You sound like the old man on the mountain.
Yes, come back tomorrow and I'll tell you the secret of life.
This too shall pass.
By the way, here's a story that I saw. A new study shows that anthropologists believe that humans wore necklaces made from shells more than 120,000 years ago. So apparently the idea of jewelry existed long before jewelry existed. We're talking about prehistoric man.
Yeah.
Wearing necklaces.
Yeah.
Like, the next thing they're going to tell us is that they had a football league or something. You know what I mean?
Didn't you watch the Flintstones?
They invented Amazon Prime. You know? This is interesting to me.
Well, there were probably a lot of things back then that they had figured out well before we ever did, and could probably get back to some of those basics, frankly.
Yeah, I look at that. I'm looking at other news stories that are big in the news today. Another one that I saw was you talk about Ivy League canceling their sports, them being in front of it. Meanwhile, you got NBA and Major League Baseball and everybody else saying they're going to try to play in this bubble. Do you think we could create a bubble around our family? That would be a secure and safe bubble. Let's just start on a small scale. Could we do that around, you know, five individuals, the three girls, and you and I? Could we create a bubble that we know is airtight?
You mean that includes other people that we just select, or just the five of us?
But could you create a protocol?
Uh-huh.
Like, my sister comes over, she watches the kids. We have to account for her now.
Right.
So that's six people.
Right.
Then we have to account for everyone she comes in contact with.
Right.
Like, is she hanging out with friends?
Yeah.
You know, she take her dog to the dog park. Who's at the dog park? Mm-hmm. Suddenly, you have to start drawing that circle wider and wider and wider. And I just wonder, how sure can we be that we can create a bubble?
Yeah. I think those are the decisions that everybody's kind of facing right now. I think some people have just decided that, you know, we're just going to roll the dice. Like, our social interactions are too important for us to let go of. And we're just going to do it. I think we could, because it's a matter of knowing the people that you're going to surround yourself with and trusting that they care as much about your health as they do about their own. and that they would self-disclose. And I mean, I think those conversations are happening all over the place. There's a lot of like awkward interactions right now with people where it's like, gosh, you know, if we're going to make the decision to go hang out with another family, it's almost like I feel like I want to give them my contact tracing list. Like, okay, yeah, here's the places where I've been. Here's who I've been with. And, you know, nobody's symptomatic. And it's like, but that's a matter of respect, you know, to disclose things like that to people.
Should be.
It should be. Yeah. But again, it's one of those things where it's like, you have to have that kind of open communication with people. You can't make assumptions, right? You just can't. Given the current situation. And so sometimes those conversations can be kind of uncomfortable and yet necessary.
Leave it here. The Culligan Water Cooler Report, still ahead.
Welcome to the Culligan Water Cooler Report. If we're talking about it, they'll be talking about it. Brought to you by Culligan Water Company.
The Culligan Water Cooler Report. We do it every day on this show. If you want to get your water tested, CulliganOfOregon.com is where you start it. We did it at our house. We want quality water. We want safe water. We want to know what I'm drinking, what our kids are drinking. So we had Culligan of Oregon come on out, and they used the spigot on outside of the house. They were there all of 90 seconds and able to tell us about a day later, what was in the water. CulliganOfOregon.com if you want to get some analysis of what's in your drinking water. They also offer a variety of other services, water treatment solutions, and other things. CulliganOfOregon.com. Anna, you're in studio with me. I was just thinking about this. People have had to, during this pandemic, go without some things that they were used to.
Mm-hmm.
Is there some kitchen appliance, if you can only have one kitchen appliance, I'm not talking about the stove, but like a blender or...
My Instant Pot.
You're answering already.
That's
the thing you can't do without.
Correct.
Why?
The versatility of what it does. Because I could theoretically make rice in it, although I've never successfully done that. It can make yogurt. You cook all kinds of, you know, soup and whatever. It's so versatile.
It's easy and versatile.
Yeah.
And you can leave it, right?
Which I guess I found out that you can turn it into an air fryer, which is so exciting to me.
What's like, an air fryer?
It's like where you can make your own fries and potato chips at home.
I don't know if I need that. Like from a health standpoint.
Like a fraction of the oil, which I guess might not make it taste so good because the oil's what's it makes it so yummy, but... Yeah, you can get a different lid for your Instant Pot and turn it into an air fryer.
All right, this radio show has jumped the shark on that note. All right, let me turn the...
You asked!
I am. I know I asked. I was just curious.
What would you not be able to go without?
Coffee pot.
Oh, okay.
At this point.
Yeah.
As I sip some coffee. All right, I noticed over the 4th of July weekend that a lot of things get associated with America.
Mm-hmm.
What is truly an icon of America? So I want to pepper you with a series of things. You tell me whether or not these things are an icon of America or not. Okay? In your mind.
Okay.
Is the hot dog an icon of America?
Yes.
Is baseball an icon of America?
Yes.
Is Black Friday an icon of America?
Kind of.
Why isn't it definitely an American thing?
No, I guess it is American. It's just very overconsumption, discount driven.
Apple pie?
I like it just like anybody else.
Is it though?
I'm pretty much going to say yes to all these things, though. Like, because what am I going to say no to?
But is apple pie really, or is apple pie just there from branding? Like, there's just been, you know, yeah, multiple instances in songs and in pop mm-hmm. culture of the apple pie. As I don't like apple pie.
I know.
I'm not an apple pie person.
It's too bad.
I like berry pie.
Yep.
I like a pecan pie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like an apple pie.
Mm-hmm.
You know why?
Why?
It's got big old chunks of apple in it.
Well, it doesn't have to.
I'm not an apple pie fan. I put apple pie low on my pie rating scale.
And you are a pie person, if I've ever seen one.
I'll tell you what I would put in front of apple pie. I put Marionberry pie, blackberry pie, blueberry pie, key lime pie, pecan pie.
Even key lime?
I put Kahlua pie in there. I would put, I think the only...
You sound like the guy from Best in Show that's like peanut, walnut, pistachio nut, white pistachio nut.
I think that the apple pie is overrated.
How un-American of you.
I'm just saying. I don't think Black Friday should be an American Icon thing either.
Yeah.
Are we going to have that amid a pandemic? Are we really going to line up at Best Buy trying to get a flat screen TV and yell at other people in our masks on Black Friday? Or are they going to cancel Black Friday?
I think there's still a lot of time between now and Black Friday.
I think we should call it off right now. Ivy Leagues have called off football. Can we call off Black Friday now? Same thing. The Ivy, those are smart people in the Ivy League. All right, underrated or overrated, the grilled cheese sandwich?
Overrated to me. To me, but not
well,
to basically
anyone. Of course, who else am I asking?
Anyone under 10.
Underrated or overrated, electric vehicles?
Underrated.
Underrated or overrated, Netflix?
It's rated about right.
I think it's overrated. I think it gets a lot of hype. I think there's got a lot of competition right now with Disney Plus and everybody else streaming. HBO, everybody, you know, Amazon Prime. There's a lot of competition out there.
True.
And we kind of use Netflix as like a generic thing. It's like soda.
Yeah.
You know, we say soda. What do you mean?
Yeah.
So people say pop.
Uh-huh.
I don't say pop, but people say pop. You mean a variety of things. It could be Sprite, could be Coke, could be root beer, could be cream soda.
Do people from different parts of the country call soda/pop different things?
Yes.
So
I had a whole class on that in college as an English literature major.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that linguistics or something?
I think it was in semantics.
Okay.
Yeah, it was...
Because I always called it pop growing up
okay,
here in Oregon.
That's because you're from here. I never called it pop.
You called it...
Never called it pop.
Did you call it everything a Coke? That's yes. The one that I don't understand. How do you call, like, Mountain Dew a Coke?
That doesn't make
any sense,
it's
though.
It's a Coke. Why do you call it pop? Or you say soda. It was either soda
because
or Coke.
Because Coke is Coke. Like Coca-Cola. Coke.
All right. Here's.
Otherwise, it's Orange Crush.
What do you call... Here's from the semantics class what I can remember. What do you call the thing that you would pour water into if you were washing your car... You'd have to have a large container that had a handle on it.
Like
you call it a bucket. If you're in the northeastern part of the country, you call it a pail.
Pail?
Yes.
In the northeast, they call it a pail.
What do you call the things that are made of cloth that cover windows?
I feel like I'm on like the password game.
What do you call the the password is curtains. What do you call
it? I'm like mind meld with you right now. It's a curtain.
Yeah.
But other parts of the country call it a drape.
Drapes.
Right?
Yeah. If you're in like the eastern east coast, you call it drapes.
Oh.
So it's stuff like that. In the northwest, it is pop.
Yeah.
In California, in the Southern California, all the way up to Northern California, it might be called Coke. And everybody's referring to the same thing.
That makes no sense to me. But you also referred to it as soda.
I call
it, which
yeah.
is it?
Well, it could be either. It's interchangeable. Soda, Coke. I'll have a Coke. Make it a Sprite.
That's so inefficient.
I'll have a Coke. Make it a Cherry Coke. You know? I'll have a Coke. Make it a Pepsi. I always laugh at the places you go to and they go, I would like a Coke. And they go, is Pepsi okay? Or is RC Cola okay? I'm like, anything that looks like a Coke... Because you never get the same mix twice.
Some people are kind of finicky.
Not
though.
Me.
They can tell. They have a finer palate, and they could, they can tell the difference between a Pepsi and a Coke, and definitely an RC.
This is not a Pinot Riesling debate.
This is a hint of artificial sweetener with brown number 4.
A cola is a cola is a cola. All right? All right. More of this great, entertaining discussion tomorrow on the show in the 2 o'clock hour. Anna, thanks for stopping by.
No problem. I'm
going to go have a Coke.
Soda. Pop.
Make it a grape soda. The bald faced truth. Not here for a long time. Just a good time.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the bald faced truth.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.